It's time for another Internet Advisor Show podcast. Since 1998, we've been helping computer users get on the Internet, get around it, and get over the problems they encounter there. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour weekly radio program heard on WJR 760 AM in Detroit since 1998 and across the state of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, the co-host of the program, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. Well, I say that all the time because I really mean we have a great show. We're going to be finding out about the Microsoft announcements this week. What were those things that they said, and why is everybody so excited about it? We'll also talk about some of the things that came out of the State of the Union address with President Obama this week. And we'll be helping somebody to build their very first computer. And that's coming up in the second hour of the show, so be here for both hours. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, a very special program. As I said before, they're all special, but this one, I think, particularly following the Windows reveal this week, is going to be a very interesting program. We're looking forward to talking with somebody from Microsoft in our area here in just a little bit to get that overview. But in studio with me, I've got my top tech helpers. Eddie Riddell, thank you very much for being here.
Always great to be here, Foster.
Thank you very much. Shane Hamlin, good to have you in-house as well.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. Shane is not only a tech advisor here, but he has his own shop out in Sterling Heights, Michigan.
Comptech Services in Shane and Sterling Heights.
And so we've got both somebody who is a tech advisor and somebody who's very much in touch with consumers and what they're doing in terms of buying habits. And then also with us, the white-haired wonder, Cal Carson. How
you
doing?
You know, sooner or later, I'm going to shave myself and completely fool you. But it's a pleasure to be back.
I'm delighted to have you here with us in the studio. It's good to have you. And, guys, we've got, I think, a really neat program ahead of us today. And we also have Mr. Mike Brennan with us with MI Tech News. Mike, how are you doing today?
Always great, Foster. Thanks.
Mike is here to talk about a few of the headlines that are out there in his weekly collection of mitechnews.com. That's the website. But you guys who are listening to us right now, folks can get a free copy of that sent to yourself on your email every week, and you'll get much more than just the three headlines we're going to talk about today. And in just a moment, we'll tell you how to do that for absolutely nothing. So, Mike, thank you very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, like I said, and keep the folks around Michigan updated on what's happening in Michigan technology.
And it keeps on getting bigger and bigger. As a matter of fact, in a little bit, we'll talk about how this MI Tech News has expanded to be more than just kind of a digital version of a news magazine. It's much more than that right now. But, Mike, let's talk about some of the things, a couple examples of, or a few examples of your headlines. One is, what caught my eye was that Oakland County Tech 248 held their first networking event, and apparently there are a whole lot more people that showed up than they expected.
Yeah, Greg Doyle, who's now in charge of that group, which, by the way, is our newest partner that we're working with, said they were hoping for 20, but they got more than 100, and I was there to witness it, and it was an overflow crowd. So
wonderful. Well, what is Tech 248, just for the sake of our audience?
Well, it's an effort on the part of Oakland County. They've done some surveys which show they have 4,000 tech companies in Oakland County, of which about half of them are one-man band, one-woman band kind of thing. But mm-hmm. The other 2,000 or so are multiple employees. They're targeting all 4,000 of these companies and trying to come up with a networking event every month that'll be moving around Oakland County, because Oakland County is a pretty big geographic county. That will allow all these folks to get together, much mm-hmm. like they did this week, and great minds get together, and who knows what's going to come out of that.
And so what were some of the things that they talked about in that first one, just to give people an idea?
Well, it was mostly we learned about Blue Water Technologies, which is audio, video, media, all sorts of a company. Yeah. Does all sorts of things that I'd never heard of the company before, to be honest.
I have. I've done a lot of. Matter of fact, I did some voice work for them in a while back.
Yeah, they're based over in Southfield, if I'm not mistaken.
They moved to Southfield now, yeah?
Yeah, they're huge. I got six offices around the country, and they're they're a lot bigger than what they look like when you drive by the building. And then we also heard from another fellow, Jason Arisnik, who is the CEO of Benzinga, which is sort of called a Michigan-based Bloomberg stock market service. Hmm. They do much more than that. But he grew from a little basement operation, and now he's got like 60 employees.
Wow.
And I, of course, approached him about working with us, so I'm waiting for him to get back to us.
Yeah. Mike is out there networking. And by the way, for people who are interested in networking, you'll find a lot of leads in MI Tech News. Okay, the next headline was about online tech. We know Jan Ness and, matter of fact, Gary Baker's company way back when. Jan now is co-CEO of that. They hosted a free disaster, or are hosting a free disaster recovery workshop in Detroit.
Yeah, they have one scheduled for February 19th. You're going to be people that attend that. It's a half a day seminar. People that attend that will then they'll walk through the business continuity planning exercise. I mean, that's really important. As I keep harping on, I know, but cyber is everything now. They got criminal elements out there that are very, very good about penetrating your networks. And if you're not ready for this, you know, some bad thing can happen very quickly, and then you can lose your company.
Yep.
So these planning sessions like this, these workshops, are very important. And since it's free, what the heck? I would attend, right?
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Let's talk about one of the other things here that you have as a headline, and moving on to kind of the state level. Governor Snyder has proposed creating a new energy agency that's going to be combining economic development and environmental protection.
Yeah, the Public Service Commission, the Energy Office of the MEDC, and also another element that does all the grants and stuff, they're all in separate departments. He hasn't decided what he's going to call this or what this is going to be yet, whether it'll be a separate cabinet post or whatever. But the impetus behind this is that the renewable energy portfolio standards are expiring at the end of this fiscal year, which would be October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's trying to pull all this stuff together, and he's got to come up with a plan so that right now I think it's 20% we have to have from renewable for the whole grid over the state by 2020. And so he's reviewing all that, and I suspect that number will probably go up.
Well, Mike, great headlines. But probably, folks, there are many other headlines in the around the country and around the world as well at MI Tech News. Simply go to internetadvisor.net, our homepage, scroll down and subscribe for nothing. And every Friday, you're going to get not only these headlines, you'll also get audio and video resources as well. Mike, thanks so much for being with us. We look forward to talking with you next week as well.
Thanks, Foster. Thanks, Ed.
Welcome, it's the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, your co-host today, along with a whole host of guys in studio here. We have Ed Riddell, Shane Hamlin, and Kel Carson. And we are delighted to say we have from Microsoft, Mr. Jerry Carlson. Jerry, thank you so much for joining us today.
How you doing, Foster?
I'm doing very, very well. Jerry is with the Microsoft Heartland Division, and we are very, very fortunate here in the Detroit area to have one of Microsoft's main offices here in the Midwest, and therefore we get to talk with all sorts of really sharp people like Jerry. In the past, we've had a lot of fun with him bringing toys in here that we've all played with. As a matter of fact, I've got my Surface Pro over here. And Jerry, thanks so much for coming in to share with us about some big news that came down this week from Microsoft.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to be here, Foster. I appreciate you having me on. And yeah, a few days ago, we announced a couple of very exciting things. And I got to tell you, I've been at Microsoft 15 years now, and I rarely get shocked about anything. But one of these announcements was a shock to me, so that was pretty interesting.
All right, I want to get to the shocker in a little bit. I can guess what the shocker is. We'll see if anybody else here is willing to take a guess. But I think I see Ed smiling. I think Shane has some idea of what the shocker was. Cal, can you think of what the shocker might have been? Just think.
No.
All right. We're going to let him be a complete surprise for him. Let's talk about what happened on Wednesday of this week, on the 21st. Let's start off with, if you will, the main event.
All right, the main event, we were disclosing more about Windows 10. We had released a Windows 10 technical preview later last year, and this was a follow-up to that with a newer version with some more features built into it. So it was a Windows 10 event, and during that event, we announced some pretty interesting thing, and I'll just touch on, I guess, a couple of them for a minute.
Yeah, by the way, I should say, just excuse me for just a second, for our listeners, we're going to be kind of doing a high-level overview with Jerry this weekend. Next weekend, we're hoping we can have a couple of folks from Microsoft in studio with us when we're live on WJR, our flagship station, and we're going to be talking in more detail at that point in time, and I know you guys are going to have probably even more questions
allow
at that time.
Allow us to dig into the nuts and bolts of
and the nuts and bolts of Windows 10 at that time. So if we don't get into all the details today, it's because next week we hope to get into much more of the nitty-gritty. But so Windows 10, for our listeners out there, is what?
It is a new version of our operating system. Okay. And before we jump in, people ask, why did you skip 9? And we can have a whole radio show on that. So let's just get into the details. So a couple of highlights of it is Cortana. Cortana is our digital assistant. Right. Would be similar to a Siri.
Right, and Google.
We are now bringing her to the desktop. So Cortana will now land on your desktop. She'll be the same on your desktop as a Windows phone. So all the same settings will flow between the desktop and phone, which is kind of nice. You can tell her to dictate an email or someday get you a cup of coffee virtually maybe. But at any case, Cortana will be on the desktop. That's a pretty big thing.
A quick question, Jerry, by the way, along with that, just a quick question on that. Will it be able, like, it's not just going to go, look, Cortana, what was the score of, and it'll go get information. Can you do things like launch PowerPoint or find my Word document?
Absolutely.
Wow.
So command and control as well, for sure.
Excellent.
I did ask her just a minute ago from my desktop who would win the Super Bowl, and she predicted the Patriots. So let's see if she's right.
That's a gimme.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
No. Where the Seahawks played the last time, it could. Nothing's a gimme. Oh, my word.
I'm surprised being from, you know, Washington, they didn't pick Washington. You know,
that's
Seattle.
True, out the West Coast. Yeah. I would have meant it would have been programmed in that it would have been the
right,
Seahawks.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got Windows 10, a new operating system. Cortana is the voice interaction. Cal?
Is it fair game to ask if you're still retaining the Metro interface with Windows 10?
There is no such thing as a Metro interface, Cal. It's called
the modern user interface.
Okay, I'm off the grid. All right, those tiles.
I love the lead in, so thank you very much. Actually, we will retain the modern UI, but there's a little bit of a caveat to it. We have something that we call Continuum.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty interesting because if your device is connected to a keyboard and mouse, you'll get displayed a traditional, let's say, desktop like you're used to. Removing the keyboard, if that's possible on your device, will ask you a question and said you want to go into tablet mode, and we will automatically set the tile view, as you call it, which we call live tiles, to that mode because we feel that without a keyboard, that's the best way to interact with a tablet.
And the nice thing about that, by the way, Jerry, as I understand, is it doesn't happen automatically. There's a little pop-up that says, do you want to do this?
Absolutely correct, Foster. It'll give you a choice and everything, yep. But I like the idea that it gives you the choice and quickly flip back and forth whichever one you want to work in and be most productive in.
And so basically with Windows 10, one of the big things was the startup menu will look like Windows 7 in many ways, but will also retain some of the features of what, Cal, you were asking about. The tiled interface will be available there, and we'll talk more about that next week. But big thing, the start menu is coming back, which is the Windows 7
there you
look.
Go. The start menu is coming back, so you'll have traditional start menu you're used to and you love in Windows 7. Mm-hmm. You'll also be able to pin some of those little live tiles alongside of it, so it's a blending of both.
Right, exactly. Okay, Jerry Carlson from Microsoft on with us right now. We're talking about the events that were announced, or the big things that were coming out of Redmond, Washington, about the new operating system, Windows 10. And all right, moving on from the operating system, just kind of quickly, there's also been some big changes or announcements about the mobile. I think it's called Windows Mobile now, am I right? Or Windows 10 Mobile? What is it called?
Well, it will be called Windows 10 Mobile.
Okay.
So the kind of a big news there, Foster, is that Windows 10 will be the exact same operating system across all devices, whether it's Internet of Things, those little things powering your refrigerator and toaster and cars and other things, all the way up to our new Microsoft Surface Hub, which is an 84-inch screen. They'll all be the same. That's great for developers, great for security people, great for people managing it, but it will be one operating system. With one store, by the way, which is pretty big news as well.
Yeah.
There will be one digital store for all of them.
But just, you know, and, and that's a great point is, well, we'll bring that up later on after
the
other
announcement. Go ahead, make your point.
Well, the other point is that one of the big drawbacks is many of the corporations did not like the Windows interface without the start menu. A lot of corporations and users, consumers, rebelled against that. What Microsoft really needs to do is bring a lot of these Windows 7 users and Vista users up to the Windows 10 platform so they could take advantage of the Windows Store.
Right.
Because right now, there's so many people out there that just have not been able to experience it and has not been able to grow. The store has not been able to mature and grow without those participants.
So,
hey, I want to mention two things. I know we jumped past it, but these are key core things, is, by the way.
Yep.
Windows 10 will be a free upgrade to anybody running Windows 7 or Windows 8 today.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be for an entire year once we launch. So, to your point, we want to get people to Windows 10. We're giving it away for free and an upgrade if you're on 7 or 8.
Woohoo! Now, just quickly, Jerry, is that when will that be available to the people who are listening right now?
People who are listening right now can join the Insider program, and they can get it today.
Oh, wow.
So, as of 2 days ago, you could load it onto the machine. I caution you, try not to make it your production machine or a machine you can actually rewipe and everything, because it still is a work in progress, although it's pretty decent. I just would say make it a second machine if you could.
I'm sure there's probably a website I can go to get this information, but will the hardware requirements for Windows 7 be sufficient for Windows 10?
Yes, we maintain that anything running Windows 7 and 8 will be compatible with Windows 10.
So you won't need to have a new piece of hardware to run Windows 10. Huge.
That's correct. You may want to get a new piece of hardware for better touch screens, better connectivity and Wi-Fi, etc., but that's correct.
Okay, and the general release to the public will be when?
We don't have a release date yet. We just say sometime this year.
Okay, sometime a little later on this year, though.
That's
but you
correct.
can get into the preview. Again, the idea is that this is still a work in progress, folks, and this is the same thing happened with Apple in terms of releasing that. Jared, can you hang on for a second?
Yep.
Okay.
Bet.
We're going to pause for just a second with Jerry, and we'll be right back. Jerry Carlson from Microsoft is with us. We're doing kind of an overview. You can see there was so much there, it's hard to do just an overview on this. But we will come back to talk about some of the other things, including the surprising thing for Jerry, and I think probably for most everybody who saw the release this last Wednesday. You're listening to the Internet Advisor. Ed Rudell, Shane Hamlin, and Cal Carson in studio. We're talking about the big announcement this past week by Microsoft.
Really big.
About a really big, really big
really,
shoe.
Really big.
Okay, and we've been interrupting Jerry so much. So Microsoft made this announcement, and he's only gotten through two or three points. Windows 10, Windows 10's free upgrade, the Windows Phone 10, and Cortana.
Yep. So Jerry Carlson is with us from the Heartland division of Microsoft. We're very fortunate to have them with offices here in the Detroit area. Jerry, thanks so much for being with us here.
You bet.
Now, let's move on to some of the other things that showed up as important. Again, we're trying to do this high level, and then next week we'll hope to have some folks in from Microsoft. We can dig into this a little bit more. Some of the other high level stuff that came out on Wednesday.
Project Spartan is a new web browser. So it's not Internet Explorer, it's a brand new web browser. And the idea behind this new web browser is that you basically could ink right on top of the web pages. So if you have a web page and you have a pen, you can start mocking up the web pages in real time. You can basically take them offline for later reading as well if you're disconnected maybe on the airplane or any other place. And then you can also have this distraction-free experience. What does that mean, distraction-free? Well, it won't be distracted by some of the other things that distract you in the browsers, mainly probably advertisements and stuff.
Mm.
So Those are the three big things: distraction-free kind of browsing. You can ink on the pages, write directly on them for mocking them up, and you can have them kind of offline. That's a high level of Project Spartan, but it is not just an upgrade to Internet Explorer. It's a brand new browser.
It's a brand new
one. And that's important because Foster and I were talking about this last week and then a little bit this week. And Internet Explorer has been around for a long time. The name's very recognizable, but there's so many toolkits out there that allow you to hack this thing. It has such a large history. It's been added on, improved, rebuilt, and you know, I'm really glad Microsoft's doing this, coming out with another browser. Built from the ground up, you betcha.
And that's a project, right? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, just to be clear, you guys, I mean, Internet Explorer 11 will live. It's not dying.
Yes,
because a lot of corporations still rely on it for legacy type of applications, and so we would still maintain that as well, just to be clear.
Right. I got to ask, because I got to know, is that browser going to be HTML5, and are you getting rid of things like Shockwave and Flash out of it?
Well, we didn't disclose any of that, so...
Okay, fair enough.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's still in development. I understand that it's still in development, right?
It currently is still in development.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah, but in that case, I pull back.
Yeah, but if you want to release about a third of the viruses that infiltrate a web browser, you get rid of Java, Flash, and stuff. I mean, really?
That's part of, I think, the project is working on. Okay, next one. We could dig into all these things. Good questions, Ocal. Go ahead.
Xbox on Windows, and so what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to stream Xbox games to your Windows desktop. It's pretty exciting because I'm a big Xbox fan, but imagine playing Call of Duty on your Surface Pro 3 or Surface Pro 2 even and everything. It's pretty interesting. So it'll be Xbox on your Windows device.
I bet you the shelves just emptied of Xbox Ones. I really do. When Microsoft made that announcement, I had five people at work said, I'm buying one now.
Yeah, I mean, being an Xbox owner myself and just finally buying my Xbox One last month, I'm extremely excited about this. We've been waiting for this for a long time. We've also been waiting for the integration between PC and Xbox being able to play together.
Wow.
On the flip side, you guys, Xbox will also have Windows 10 on it. So we were saying play Xbox on Windows 10 desktop, but Xbox itself will have a Windows 10 core.
Yeah. Oh,
so
wow.
Like I said before, whether it's Internet of Things or Xbox or big screens, they're all the same.
They're mind-blowing.
I'm totally confused because I thought the reason for having a gaming console is not to play games on your computer, but you're saying we're going back toward that direction.
You can
now?
Do that.
You can.
I'm saying we're giving you a choice. So you think about the millions of people that have PCs that don't have Xboxes.
Right.
Or if you have an Xbox and you're on the road, you want to play the same game on your PC, that may be possible now.
Right. Now on your portable device, wow. Okay, so we've got the Spartan Browser Project, Xbox. What's next?
The last thing I didn't mention about Windows, and it actually is a big thing, and we can dig deep into it, but Windows will be a service. So it will be an operating system as a service. Think about Office 365, if you're familiar with it. It's ran as a service. So that meaning that Windows 10 will be always up to date, always secure as a service.
So, like with Office 365, then once I get Windows 10 on my machine or whatever the device is, in the background, it's going to continually be updating without my having to dig into that. Oh, wow!
Well, but when he says this, when Jerry says that, I'm thinking yearly payments. Is that a possibility? I mean, one of the reasons why I enjoy Office 365, but one of the things, I like buying an operating system, and I'll stick with it for, the 3 years. I'll buy another computer, and that'll be the upgraded one, but I still like the old computer,
I don't know what the pricing will be or not. We haven't disclosed that, but it will be, if I can only use the analogy I do know, is Office 365. So if you imagined buying Office like you did in the past, it was several hundred dollars.
Right.
If
Take
Office 365 service, $99 a year for consumer or $69 for a student, you could stretch that same $300-$400 you spent 5-6 years.
Oh yeah, but in addition to that, Jerry, I'm a 365 owner. I have five other people that now are using my Office 365.
Yeah. And I've been converting.
So divide
a lot
the
of
99
people.
By five, and there's the value.
And so that's the biggest value.
It's going to be similar to that.
Yep.
So the concept is to go to a subscription service for an OS now.
That's correct.
Sounds like it, yeah. Hey, I want to get a couple things because we're coming to the end here. Surface Hub, you mentioned, is that massive screen, right? That is much more than just a big screen.
We purchased a company, PPI was the company, but we've rebranded and we've come out with a new device, and it's called Surface Hub. It's 84-inch or 55-inch. It's still all Gorilla Glass.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 4K screen.
Wow.
Two built-in cameras. There's actually the PC is built into the device. The PPI, you had to add a PC to it.
Mm-hmm.
And OneNote is built in for your taking notes in, let's say, brainstorming sessions or collaborative creation. So it's a pretty interesting device.
Okay. Now, I think we are getting to the big surprise for you. Am I right?
You're right.
Ed, what was your big surprise, do you think?
I thought it was the Windows for free for the first year.
Shane?
Same thing. I thought it was going to be the Windows for free. I mean, I didn't think a lot of people knew that.
Cal?
They were going to sell off Microsoft and buy Apple.
No!
I voted for that one.
I'm just kidding.
For me, too, Jerry, I think it was the last item you're going to mention.
All right. Here we go. Drum roll, please, guys. Okay.
All right.
Microsoft has developed what we're calling Microsoft HoloLens. I'll spell it for you. HoloLens. HoloLens. What is it? It's the world of holograms. It is a headset. So think about Oculus Rift.
Yep.
In this particular case, it requires no wires. You do not have to connect it to your phone as Google Glass, and I'm using that reference.
Right.
It will be an entire full PC in a glasses kind of a headset.
Wow. And you can see through it, by the way, folks. Oculus Rift, you're enclosed, and you can't see where you are. This case, this is like a pair of glasses that you can look through and then see this augmented reality.
That's what holograms are. So if you think about it, you're right, Foster. Think about looking through it and it laying on a bunch of holograms onto the surfaces that you're looking at.
Exactly.
For example, if you're doing a product design and maybe you are looking at a piece of a car that you're working on, you can overlay an engine on the car to see how it would fit in it. Or another scenario is we have a really great video up on HoloLens.com is a father remotely over Skype teaching his daughter how to change the trap in a sink. He's writing on his tablet, and she sees through the glasses his writing right on the thing she's supposed to turn. It's pretty mind-boggling.
We'll go into more. I will have links, by the way, folks, to all of these things up on our homepage, and we can't go into all the details today on this, but Jerry, I have to say this, Jerry Carlson, that every commentator I have listened to, from Leo Laporte and Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, who was usually pretty pretty buttoned down on these things, flipped out when they got to use this. Everybody who has had a chance to put these things on is absolutely blown away by the experience. Cal?
Do we have a ballpark idea what this is going to cost?
No idea. I'm buying it regardless.
It was funny. Leo Laporte was saying, I'll buy it. I'll mortgage the farm. It's just so incredible because in some of the videos that I've watched, and folks, we will post some of these videos because you got to see it to believe it. The ones, for instance, during the presentation were just absolutely remarkable. You put this pair of glasses on and you are suddenly in your world. You're able to manipulate objects and you can even, in one case, fabricate a drone, which is fascinating. Absolutely. Mind-boggling. Jerry Carlson, thank you so much for being with us here on the Internet Advisor today.
All right, thanks, guys. See you, Foster.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for being with us. Jerry Carlson from the Heartland Division of Microsoft. Coming back in just a moment, I want to get the guys to talk a little bit about this whole Microsoft experience and their reaction. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown here. Andrew Dell.
Show and the show.
The show and the show is what happens to the break. Shane Hamlin, Cal Carson.
A whole different set of viruses.
Excuse me. Oh, boy. I'm all choked up with emotion here. We were talking about applications of some of these things we heard about from Microsoft. Well, guys, just kind of your general reactions to this. Just an incredible laundry list of things that Microsoft brought out on Wednesday of this week. Ed, what are your thoughts?
I liked a lot of it until I heard subscription-based Windows. I heard that, and I'm like, my stomach just sunk.
Well, I mean, go ahead, Foster. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, please.
Think about it. I mean, if it would have come out normally, you would have had to pay for the upgrade anyway, correct?
Yeah.
So you're going to spend $100. Let's just say $100.
Right.
So spread that out over a course of a year. And I'm sure it's not going to be really expensive. I'm sure it's going to be something reasonable, $3-4 a month.
Well, that's what I don't understand, though, because my understanding is when it does come out finally, anybody who has Windows 7 or Windows 8.1 will be able to upgrade free for a full year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In other words, and then when you've got it installed, it's yours. Yep. It's installed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't understand the subscription.
It's possible that maybe without the, kind of like how Xbox runs their gold status, their live.
Yeah, you have to pay a monthly subscription fee or a yearly.
For Xbox, I have to pay a monthly thing.
Yeah.
But I can still use my Xbox without that service, but I don't get all the little added bonuses.
Yeah, and that could be.
You know, I don't get the automatic updates, for instance, or I don't play online, you know, multiplayer. Yeah.
So they let you upgrade for free for the first year.
Right.
Right.
And then once they've got you, then when it's time, they're going to turn on the power and says, now it's time to pay.
Yeah, bait and switch. I mean, Adobe's doing it with their Adobe Premiere. Everyone's doing it. You know, your billing is monthly and it hits your Visa. You get all these invisible payments that hit your Visa. And you know what? I have been rejecting all of those. I still write old-fashioned checks. Well, I like writing my name and sweating over every cent I spend.
Why?
And I do not like it hitting my Visa every month.
You're making you're making a very good point, because
there's a generation that feels that way.
That's just $10 a month. Well, that's $120 a year.
We've been asking for this a la carte society for a long time.
Yeah.
With TV and cable and Netflix, and now, you know, I mean, really.
No, you're right.
They're going to $10 nickel and dime us to death.
See, for the software companies, they got to do that. They got to go with the subscription service. It's not the Microsoft giving away the operating system is not analogous to the Apple giving away their operating system.
Because
the difference is this. Microsoft only sells software. And if they don't sell the software, they don't make money. Where Apple says, okay, we'll give you the operating system, but it's actually baked into the price of the hardware.
I got you.
So they're not going to lose money in the deal. They can hand it out till they're blue in the face. It's fine, because they're going to get it back in the hardware.
I got you.
Where Microsoft has to depend on software sales, and it's a couple of $1 billion a year in upgrades and stuff like that.
They're also producing hardware the Microsoft Surface Pro, the Surface Pro 3. It'll be interesting to see if you buy a Microsoft device, if you're going to be forced to pay that.
Well, yeah, but the bulk of Microsoft's operating systems are sitting on PCs.
Yeah, and that's where they've made their money over the years.
And that's where they're going to continue to make their money for a long time.
In enterprise in particular. Yeah.
Now, Cal made a great point when we started talking about the Xbox and how we could do gaming on our Windows 10. And Jerry basically said that the Xbox One will be running Windows 10 in the background.
Right.
And Cal made the point, wait a second, didn't consoles become so popular because they weren't dependent on an operating system and they were optimized just for gaming, and that's what made them so performance rich? That's basically what you said.
How about that, Shane? I mean, you used Xbox and...
I am a gamer, a huge gamer.
Yeah.
How about that
you know,
logic?
Here's the thing. You've got your Xbox. In the past, is like, I know I don't have to... See, with a PC game, I do both.
Mm-hmm.
You're always wondering, boy, I wonder how that's going to run on my PC, this game. You're always worried about that upgrade. But with the Xbox, you didn't have to worry about it. You knew if you bought a game, it would run.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a nice thing about it.
Right.
But now, for instance, I've got a lot of friends that are PC gamers, and that's all they'll ever be.
Right.
So they'll be playing Call of Duty on there, and I'll have Call of Duty, and we won't be able to play together. Now we can jump into the same game.
Can really test your mettle.
Well, you know.
Against each other, really.
What will the advantage then be of having the Xbox?
Well, a lot of people can't afford a gaming computer.
Right.
Computer? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, they're
$1,000.
Yeah, you're right.
That's your average middle-of-the-road gaming
Xbox
PC.
One is about $300.
$340, $350, somewhere in there. But now the PC guys have an advantage with keyboard and mouse. It's a lot sharper, a lot quicker turns, a lot more precise than a controller.
I agree, yep.
Unless you're a professional Xbox gamer, the average user just doesn't have the control of somebody with a PC.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, no. How about, will that make Xbox then the home media console?
I would imagine, because even on my Xbox One, it's running 8. I mean, it's tiled. It looks just like my Windows 8. I mean,
so
it really
what,
does. It looks
what
like
would
my phone.
Keep me then from turning my TV into my PC?
There's nothing, because if you go on to your Xbox One, you're just like your Roku. You've got all those apps, all the apps you can think of, and all the channels, everything. It looks just like
But if it's running Windows 10, yeah. shouldn't I also be able to just to pop up the start menu?
Yeah, I mean, you can run. The great thing about it is you can run apps that you run on my like on my computer. If I'm watching a video, like say I have a movie on my computer and I'm watching it, boom, I just hit one button and it streams it right to my Xbox One. I go in my living room and watch it.
Right.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
It's the easiest.
And it makes sense for Microsoft to do this, to combine the platforms. They had to do this. They've had three independent silos, their mobile, their gaming, and their PCs, right. and they really needed to combine.
So it's one OS to run them all. Is Apple moving in that same direction, Kel?
The difference with Apple, I think, is they're not trying to move all the OSs to the same platform as much as they're trying to make all the platforms talk to each OS.
Right.
And basically, there's going to be two, and I think it's going to stay two for a long time, with features that they share across each other. It'll be the iOS. It'll be the Mac OS X as well. And those things will be more tightly integrated, but I don't think they'll ever be to a point where they'll be the same OS running on every device.
So it's like a walled garden, and within that will be iOS 8, the mobile, if you will, and then OS X, or wherever it becomes, but I mean the operating system for the
myself PC. I prefer it to be that way in the sense that what I think is going to end up happening is that when you start rolling that OS across all those different platforms, no one platform is going to do it as well as it did before. The PCs won't be as strong as they were. Well, the PCs might stay strong, but I think the Xboxes won't get the attention that it should get to be that real strong gaming console it should be.
Apple's in a different boat than Microsoft is. Okay, they develop all their hardware, and they're going to stick with the two platforms.
Again, they build the hardware.
Okay, Microsoft has three different platforms. The only hardware they build, and they really don't even build it, is the Xbox. And they got the Surface, of course.
The Surface
Microsoft has four platforms. You know, they have the phone, they have the PC, they have the Surface tablets, and then they have the Xboxes. They have to combine. They had to do something.
And you're right. They don't control the hardware. So they want something that they can give to their suppliers. They can give to Lenovo, and they can give to Dell and all the rest,
which takes them back down that same rabbit hole, unfortunately, is that you got to get the suppliers to start looking at that operating system closer so that it makes it more a tighter unit and it performs better.
Right, because remember, there's not that many applications in the Microsoft Store. Hardly at all. I mean, it's getting there at all. But if they combine them all between the Xbox, think of what that store is going to be doing.
That would be huge.
What the sales are going to do.
That's going to be huge. And that is, in terms of the phone and many other things, and the phone in particular, has been a lack of good applications. Now developers apparently are going to be able to develop for one basic platform, and then it goes everywhere. And that'll be huge for Microsoft. Lots to look forward to in this year of 2015 and beyond. Well, if you can, stick around for hour number two. We're going to be talking with some of our folks out there who have given us questions to answer, and one fellow who wants to build a computer. We got some minds we're going to put together on that, coming up in hour number two of the Internet Advisor. You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. If you want to see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage or enter our forums and place your question there. You can also friend us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor Show podcast. Hi, this is Foster Brown, co-host of the program, and so glad that you've decided to join us for hour number two of our program this week for January 24th. 2015. I, as I said, am the co-hosts, Ed Rudell, Shane Hamlin, and Kel Carson are in studio. We're going to handle questions that have been sent to us by our listeners. And as a matter of fact, we're going to be talking with one of our listeners about a question they proposed about building a computer. You want to stick around for that. Coming up next. Thank you for being here for hour number two of the Internet Advisor. The Wild and Woolly Group is here. We have Ed Rudell. Hi, Eddie. How you doing?
Oh, man. I'm doing good.
He's my co-pilot today, Gary Baker.
I'll sugar it up.
We are celebrating, by the way, Ed's birthday. How you want to reveal?
I'm only 51 years young.
My goodness. You're a young squirt nipple, little whippersnapper.
Yeah. You know, it's not as big. Yeah, I didn't know it was my birthday.
There you go.
Until I saw my Facebook posts.
That's right. He didn't even know.
Really?
Until like 10 o'clock. I mean, I knew, but that was like a week earlier. My life's been kind of hectic, Rich. Recently.
So now, wait a minute. Don't you get your ARP card in the mail soon?
I think I got it like a week after I turned 50.
Do yeah. not scorn that, my friend.
Oh, no, I'm not scorning it. I've got a little ways to go yet.
You got to trust Foster. I mean, here's a guy who's been around since the Conestoga yeah. wagons.
Are either of you in the 50s? You're in the 50s. Cal?
I'm close.
Oh, come on.
Get out of here.
How many retirement
packages?
You crossed
the half century mark a while back.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's just say I have some experience.
Now, you young whippersnapper.
Yes, I'm the young whippersnapper. Not that much, but I've got about
a few years before you closed.
Well,
you just had a birthday suit to Disney.
Yes, yes. Over the holidays. Yes.
Oh, my.
Rich Rosdetsky, our engineer. Great with the sound effects.
Who is also probably younger than all four of us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Divide our age in half and you got it. All right. Shane Hamlin in studio here. Shane is not only a tech advisor for us, but he also is somebody who has their own computer store. But that'll play into, by the way, our first call coming up in just a little bit. And that is Comtech Services in
Sterling Heights. And Shaner. We get a lot of our listeners into my store, not just necessarily to buy something or get something fixed, but a lot of times just come in and chit-chat.
Just get your autograph. Yeah.
Yes.
Instead of you getting their autograph.
They bring me pizza and hamburgers and all kinds of good
stuff. Of
course,
he'll take their autograph anytime on the bottom of a check or a charge card.
Exactly.
You know, because it's amazing how many people just want someone they know they can trust.
And they drive from Port Huron, I mean, all over to come in just to hang out. Not to hang out, but, you know, hey, you know, talk about technology because they know they're going to get a one-on-one conversation.
And I think that is the big deal. And I know, for instance, with the Mac group meetings, Cal, that you're part of now, that is the real magic of it. You get to talk with other people who have been using it for a long time. I know when I went over there for my Mac, I love talking with people who are very, very approachable. Well, about the issues.
Well, the bottom line nowadays when it comes to technology, and Shane knows this probably better than any of us sitting in it right here right now, it's not the product, because the product is the same for everybody. I mean, a PC is a PC, whether you get it from Dell, HP, whatever, that sort of thing. It is the service. The service is what makes the difference between the two. It's how you're handled with that transaction. It's how you're supported with that piece of technology that makes the difference. Yeah. It's like when you come to the Mac group meeting, it's about how the people handle you there. It's all about service.
Well, and it's not just that. It's just a lot of people just won't sit down and read a manual. But for us that have and have made all the mistakes, they want to be able to ask you a question in plain language.
Yes.
And be able to get an answer and you interpret it. You know where they're heading. You know, you tell a machine that, they'll take you literally. You type that into a Google search, it'll take you literally.
It's a total experience when you go. I think that's kind of where the future of, I don't want to say computer stores, but it's almost like a computer boutique now. I hate to say that
exactly.
word.
Exactly.
Where you can come in. I don't know. You've been in my store.
Yes.
It's very relaxing. It's inviting. You know, nice lighting.
They've got green tea. Candles are burning. There's a lava light in the corner.
You can come in, have a seat. I've got enough technology there. We can talk about it.
Yeah.
We can plan out how you want to use technology, because that's usually the first thing I say. We talk about you. You know, what do you do? What do you want to do? What do you want to learn?
I want to hook it up to a sewing machine. I want to hook it up to my, you know, I want to do scrapbooking. I want to do this, you know.
Hey, this is all cues for one of our listeners, who is Dennis Bailey, who is joining us today. Dennis, thank you very much for being here with us on the Internet Advisor.
Well, thank you.
Now, Dennis sent us an email in which he said essentially that he's looking for a new computer for your wife, right?
Correct.
Okay. And what kind of things is she involved in doing?
Well, she's into scrapbooking, and she wants to be able to use several large programs and download videos, and just takes a lot of capacity.
Okay.
And speed.
And
I was going to ask, what type of computer do you have right now?
Well, I've got four of them, and none of them are adequate. They're all custom built, but I've always, I guess, gone on the light side, not because I wanted to, but because I didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to remedy that this time. I want to
you actually want to go overboard and have extra capacity.
Okay, let me tell you what we're going to do in just a little bit with Dennis, is we're going to have the guys, we're going to kind of do what you were talking about, Shane,
yeah,
is invite him into, if you will, our little studio here, boutique.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do, folks, is we're going to try to go through the process with Dennis about developing a computer that meets the needs that his wife has. So, Dennis, I'm going to put you on hold for a sec, okay?
Okay.
And we're going to come back in just a little bit, and we're going to talk with him about what that means. Yeah. And as folks, as we go through this process, I hope that you'll stick around, because as we're going through it, it's you're going to be kind of, you know, sitting in the next chair, and you've got your specifications for your computer. And I think as we go through, you're going to hear some of the questions that these guys ask Dennis about what he wants and what the options are will be very, very valuable in your search for your next computer. And we're going to have Ed and Shane and Cal helping Dennis in just a little bit to get the answers for his particular needs. But I think it'll be a bigger application to what you're looking forward to as well. So stick around for that very practical application of your next computer hunt coming up next. Welcome to the second hour now of the Internet Advisor. And in this one, what we normally do when we have a live program on our flagship station, WJR, is we take calls from you folks, our listeners out there. And when we pre-record our programs, as we have for this January 24th, what we do is that we have a connection to some of our listeners out there who have sent us emails during the week. And Dennis Bailey is with us right now. Dennis, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Okay, good. We got a good connection here now. Dennis, where are you calling us from?
Tecumseh, Michigan.
From Tecumseh, okay, down towards Toledo. Matter of fact, my sister lives in Tecumseh.
Yeah.
Beautiful little town.
It is.
Yes, it is.
And, okay, Dennis, your question to us was, your wife loves to scrapbook, right?
Right.
And you want, and money is not necessarily an object, we're not going to throw any money away, but you would like to either buy or have built a new computer for your wife, right?
Yeah, right. Preferably have one built, because my research, I don't think I can buy one that's going to meet all the needs.
Okay.
I think you're going to have to sacrifice in some areas if you just buy one.
Well, all right, we got three guys in here. Shane is going to take lead on this because he has his own shop here in the Detroit area. So let's start with you, Shane.
You know, now
Dennis was walking into your store.
You know, Dennis, you mentioned, you know, scrapbooking is the main purpose for this machine.
Correct.
In my opinion, in my experience, scrapbooking is probably one of the least taxing. I mean, believe it or not, one of the least taxing things you can do with a higher end system. You know, when someone walks in the door and says, "Hey, I'm going to be gaming with this machine," then I kind of go, "Oh boy, this is going to be a build." You know, we've got to worry about graphics and 3D and all this
stuff. And memory and disk storage. Audio.
We're scrapping. Scrapbooking, even with the scrapbook software that comes with the cutters and the printers, you know, lots of storage space, you know, hits kind of with patterns and things like that. You're going to, mm-hmm, want a lot of storage space, maybe a solid state drive, you know, speed of accessing those patterns.
Mm-hmm.
But Photoshop and those types of programs take a lot of memory.
Correct. Now,
okay, so you're doing Photoshop, so you're right.
That
does the bump, that bumps it up.
Correct. It moves it up to
anything you can think of, she'll have on here.
Yeah, I mean, what I want to do, and this is what I always do with my customers, is I don't let them overthink it. You know, they're coming in and they're like thinking about all these numbers and processors, XY1684.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't have to do that, because I know for a fact, because I've done this for so long. I feel like the what was that show back in the 90s? A Pretender, was it? Where he did everything.
MacGyver.
I'm a graphic artist as well. I do a lot of graphic arts myself. So I'm familiar with Photoshop and Adobe, right, and all those things. But, you know, yeah, RAM and memory is very important.
Right.
But nowadays, when you get a new system, you know, you're coming with 8 gigs of RAM.
To start with.
You know, to start with.
And bumping it to 16 is no big deal.
You know, 16, to bump it up, RAM has kind of gone down in price like our gasoline. It's nice and cheap.
You can't have over 8 if you only have a 32-bit system, can you?
Well, we're not going to get you into a 32-bit system now.
Okay.
Unless your software dictates that you have to have 32-bit. Which I don't think it does. I mean, most of this new software is 64-bit.
Well, you know, those are some of the things I'm wondering about. What about the virus protection and spyware.
Well, we'll get to that. That's like frosting on the cake.
That's the easy stuff. Trust me.
We just finished Dad's birthday cake.
But I mean, does that operate on 64-bit systems?
Yeah, of course.
Just about any 32-bit program, any program that's written to run on a 32-bit system will run on a 64-bit system.
Can we stop for just a second for people listening out there? What's the big deal about 32-64? Just quickly.
Well, it's the mode of processing on you've got different applications. You know, you've got a 32-bit.
You're going from a two-lane highway
to a four-lane highway. That's a good example, yes.
Okay.
Most everything nowadays is 64-bit.
Okay, so right out of the gate then, Dennis, 64-bit is going to be the bottom line, right?
Okay, what about Windows 7 or Windows 8? You have no problem going with Windows 8?
Well, I'd rather have 7, but I understand that they're going to have free update to Windows 10 this year.
With either 7 or 8, so whichever
with
you
either one,
get.
Yeah. And the new Windows 10, by the way, will have a lot of benefits under the hood, and in addition to that, it will look like Windows 7 Cal.
If I could just roll the wagons back in the circle again, are you going to be using this machine mostly, or is she going to be using this machine mostly?
Well, if I can get her to learn to use it proficiently, she will, but I'm sure that I'll be involved.
What is she using currently?
Well, right now she has a laptop and a desktop.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and she does...
And what do they run, by the way? Excuse me. What's the operating system?
Windows 7.
7, okay.
Okay, so she's already familiar with the operating system, so that's good and to have that too. What does she actually do with the machine?
Well, right now, other than classes that she takes online...
Okay.
So that's browsing on the internet.
Yep, and email. Oh.
Okay, email. Lots of email.
Oh, lots of email.
And with the email, does she deal with pictures?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, lots of pictures.
Yep.
What about social media, like Facebook or with family and friends?
Not much of that.
Okay.
How about videos?
Oh, yeah, a lot of video.
Okay, so she downloads a lot of videos, watches them on YouTube?
Yep, a lot of them.
So where does the scrapbooking come in with the use of the computer?
Well, actually, a lot of it's... instructional.
Mm-hmm. So she uses it to learn more about the scrapbooking thing rather than actually do scrapbooking.
Well, that plus she has a, I think they call it a Silhouette and a Cricut and all kinds of machines.
So she has the cutters.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it is going to take a lot of memory.
Not really.
Now, here's a tough question. Where is she at so we could talk to her?
She's in the shower.
Good answer.
Good place for her. Okay.
She'll get to hear this afterwards.
And the only reason why I was asking is I'd like to get a good touch on exactly what she's going to be doing with it, because that helps Shane to be able to come up with ideas as far as the hardware, so we can nail this down as close as possible. The greatest... challenge when you're doing a custom machine is not to buy too little computer, but you don't want to buy too much computer. Well, you want to get that nice balance.
Well, it sounds like he's getting tired of buying the low-end computers, and he wants top of line. He doesn't want to deal with it anymore.
Right. I bought four or five of them on I wouldn't say on the lower end. I mean, each one of them has been well over $1,000, but...
Right.
Whoa.
I don't want to do that anymore. I don't care if it costs two or three times that. I want to do it right and be done with it.
Well, come on down. No, really. You know, when a customer walks in my store, it's not about the money for us. It's about getting what you need.
Yeah.
Granted, sales are great, but you know what? A nice i7 machine with 16 gigs of RAM, maybe a solid-state hard drive, a Windows 7 Pro 64-bit. Is pretty much all you're going to need.
I would go a little bit further than what Shane's doing. Everything he said was great, but in addition, I would add to that machine an additional USB card to it with four ports on it, so I could have all those different cutters she have hooked up at the same time.
Okay, let's step back.
Okay, but
Dennis, hang on, guys. Hang on.
No.
We're throwing a lot of information here. Let's step back for a minute, and what I want to do, you just listed off a bunch of things. Shane, let's go i7, i7, and that is referring to the Intel processor.
The core processor, correct.
i7 processor, go ahead, you had i7, how much RAM?
16 gigabytes.
16.
I'd rather change that to say 32 gigabytes.
You can bump, is this going to be a desktop?
You can do 32 gigs, yes.
Okay, so this is a desktop.
Yep, and you were talking about USB ports, that's another thing on my list.
Yeah,
extra Ethernet port and And
okay, hang on. We'll get to that. Hang on. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Well, are you wireless at home or are you hardwired?
We are. I do have a wireless network, but I want to hardwire this. I think you get better performance.
Okay, so hang on a second. Let me get through these things because people are probably taking notes too. So it's an i7, 16 gigabytes of RAM, hardwired, and in terms of the drive, we're going to be like, what?
Well, no. You can do, what I would do is, we'll do a dual system here.
This is going to be a dual, okay? We'll hang on, Dennis, because...
Dual hard drive, you mean?
Hang on just a second. So tell me what a dual means.
Yeah, we're going to have two hard drives in the system.
One of my questions.
We're going to have a standard SATA hard drive in there that's, right. A terabyte and a half, 2 terabytes.
Okay.
And that's going to be your big storage.
Okay.
And then we're going to have a smaller solid state.
SSD, a solid state drive.
With no moving parts. It's going to be a lot faster that we're going to run our...
Eight gigs?
Probably 100, probably 250.
Okay, 250. Now, hang on a second, Dennis. We're going to come back, and we're going to continue this conversation with you and spell a little more of this out so other folks can be listening and thinking about themselves and their systems as well. So we're right back. My co-pilot today is the birthday boy, Mr. Ed Rudell. Good to have you, Eddie.
Glad to be here.
Get any more of that cake?
Yes, there's a little bit more out there.
It's good stuff.
It was good. Thank you, Rich. Yep. We're dancing around. That's a sugar high that's going on here. Rich Luzinski, our engineer, and also our call screener in the background. Shane Hamla is in here.
Hey.
And also Kel Carson. And what we're doing, we're talking with one of our listeners. What we do when we have the live program, you call in, we have problems, we try to solve. We also, during the week, and anytime you want, you can get hold of us by going to internetadvisor.net, hitting the Contact Us button, and sending us, and you folks who are listening to our affiliates, please get in touch with us from wherever you're hearing us, Lansing, Grand Rapids, Battle Creek, wherever it happens to be, and we will be happy to answer your question about the specific problem you're having. And simply go to internetadvisor.net and hit the Contact Us button. So,
you know, could we possibly do this show in reverse one time where we get to call people and tell them our problems?
Yeah, there we go. Dennis, you don't want to hear our problems, I guess. Do you?
Are you talking to me?
Oh, yeah. He didn't get to hear that conversation.
He answered that one correctly.
Dennis Bailey is with us from Tecumseh, Michigan. He is one of the folks who had gotten hold of us by email, and he's interested in building a brand new computer for his wife, who is very much into scrapbooking. And we've been talking about some of the ways you go through making the decisions. That really, Dennis, is what we've been talking about here. And by the way, Shane is more than happy. We'll make sure we get in contact with you off the air and give you the number so you can get hold of Shane.
Oh, great.
And you can talk with him. Or if you want, he said people drive in from all over the place.
It's a little bit of a haul for him.
Drive up I-75 and in about an hour you can get there.
That's definitely something we can do by email, though. Yeah, so
we can do by email as well. But in any case, Dennis, so far we've been talking about you want to build this for your wife who likes scrapbooking. And you want something. You've been buying these different machines that run Windows 7, laptop she's had, an older desktop, and you want to give her something that's substantial so that you don't have to do this again in another few years, right?
Correct.
Okay. And you just heard in the first part of our program, Windows 10 is coming out, and that if you've got a Windows 7 machine, by near the end of this year, probably in the fall when Windows 10 comes out, you can upgrade for free for a full year from Windows 7 and get that on your machine without having to add anything else, and you'll be up to date with the latest system. So you're in like Flynn. And then that means if you've got the hardware you want, you should be cooking. Now, we talked about the fact that it's going to be a 64-bit system. Don't even think of 32, unless, I think, Ed, you had said it, or somebody had said, unless the software happens to require that. But in this particular case, that isn't the case. All right, because she's on a Windows 7 program right now.
Correct.
So, you want a desktop, not a laptop, right?
Correct.
Okay. And that will allow you to put in a whole bunch of different kind of hardware. By the way, Ed, we were talking about this before. The advantage of a desktop over laptop, Ed, is?
You can put additional media in there, cards and adapters.
Yeah. So don't write desktops off. Very often we tell people, well, why don't you just have a laptop if you're going to do some simpler kind of things? But in this particular case, Shane, do you think it's wise then to have a desktop where you can put a little more stuff in
desktop
there?
Desktop is fine. That's really, because it's upgradable in the future.
Right.
Not with what we're building here. We're building Super Beast here. You're not going to have to upgrade this, period.
Right. But you'll have room in the cabinet that you can do different things.
Correct.
Now, what we have suggested to you up this point, Dennis, is an i7 processor.
Correct. Now we don't want to get too crazy with the i7 because you can do a quad core, a 6 core, and an 8 core. Any one of those will be just fine. And they range in price, you know, probably from 200 up to
like 600.
Yeah, I mean,
and spending more
just for the processor. Yeah.
And spending more does not necessarily get it to do what you want to do any better.
Not for what he wants it to
do. Not for what you want to do. Okay? You understand that, Dennis?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when somebody comes in, maybe you have the money available, saying, well, I'll just pay for the biggest and the most. That's necessarily.
You know, and there's ways to do that where you can take that money that you would have saved on buying, say, an 8-core and put it towards maybe better quality RAM, you know, or a little larger solid-state drive. Because solid-state drives are a little expensive.
They
because
are right
they're,
now.
They're so fast. I mean, here's something you'll turn on your desktop and Windows 7 or 8 will actually load in 5 seconds and you're up and running. You know?
And so that is the nature of a dual drive.
Correct.
And folks who are listening, that is where you have an SSD, a solid-state drive. It could be any size, a 126 or 128, rather, 256, or up to a half a gig.
And let me explain what the solid-state is for those people listening. Well, what's that? Basically, you've got two types of drives. You've got the action drives that are, you know, movable parts inside it, which are the SATA, the standard drives that everyone has now. They've got the little needle, and it moves along the disk, and it's got moving parts. And then you have a solid-state drive that has no moving parts. It acts just like a thumb drive. And they're so much faster accessing data.
And that is where you put your basic operating system.
Put your OS and your most common, like I tell people, either gamers or people that run CAD software or Photoshop, put that program on there as well.
Okay.
Your OS and your active programs.
So your wife does a lot with Photoshop, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would go on the solid-state drive.
Right. But any data that she saves, any photos that she renders or videos that she edits or saves would go on the large honking
SATA drive. SATA drive. Suggested, for instance, even 2 terabytes.
2 terabyte SATA drive. She can store all she wants in there, make all the folders she wants, have a library galore there.
Okay.
And then one thing I'm going to tell you, and I don't want to get too far, you're going to want to set up some kind of a cloud storage that backs that up as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Microsoft does that with the Windows 8 and 10.
Yes.
You'll have that ability. And
I think that's secure then.
Yes, very secure.
So, but and that's the whole, and Cal, as a matter of fact, is a person who is very much a passionate believer in and teacher of backup. Right. And that's another thing for another discussion.
Now, Shane, are you recommending that users, people that buy desktops nowadays that are getting Windows 7, are you trying to talk to them into possibly getting a monitor that supports touchscreen for the Windows 8, Windows 10? Or, I mean,
can they do that down the road?
Or is that something they could do down the road?
They can do that anytime.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
At any time. But for what you're doing, the scrapbooking stuff, you don't need to get the touchscreen right now.
Right.
So you can use a monitor you have. Do you have a good monitor right now?
I do have a good one. That was one of my questions, though.
Mm-hmm.
And Windows 10, is that going to be a touchscreen only?
No.
Okay.
It's going to be whatever you want it to
be. Yes, exactly.
Actually, Windows 10 will have a feature in it where you can operate it like Windows 7.
Oh, mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah. Exactly.
It'll fit your needs.
It'll look just like your old desktop.
Yeah, with a desktop, touchscreen to me would be really.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, that'll give me repetitive injury of my shoulder.
Yeah, you got to reach up to do everything.
Well, if you've ever used it, it's wonderful on smaller devices. On bigger screens like that, it doesn't make much sense.
Correct.
So mouse and keyboard, just fine.
And what we'll have to do is we'll have to match up your monitor with the input-output for the video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because you're not doing, you know, you mentioned videos and instructional videos, but those aren't 3D or CAD or gaming. You can, any video card, onboard video card will run that fine.
Okay, so you don't need a special video card.
And most motherboards now are going to have your HDMI output.
Okay.
Or, you know, it's going to have an Intel HD 4000, which is a plenty fine card.
Okay.
You know, for
and audio?
In audio, yeah, you're gonna have 5.1, 7.1 built into these motherboards now. Anyway,
okay. Now, is the motherboard a significant concern?
Nope.
Okay.
As long as it supports the CPU and the RAM, it can be any. You know, we'll run any. You know, Gigabit, Asus, whatever you want. MSI.
Cal, before you made the point that you're going to want also to be able to put a number of inputs into this thing because of the devices. You mentioned the Silhouette and the Cricket, you know, as two devices that she has right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying that you
I was saying that in addition to what Shane was talking about, depending on the number of ports that's going to be on that motherboard that he's going to have in that machine, I might want to add a USB card, a USB 3 card in there, and attach all those various devices directly to the machine so they're always there ready for her to use anytime she wants.
So lots of USB ports.
Because right now a new system that we're selling in our store comes with anywhere from 8 to 10 USB 3.0 ports now.
Wow. And USB 3 is the new higher one.
Yeah,
right?
You'll see it's got a little blue tongue inside of it, a little blue tag.
Right. The 3.0, the one that we were talking about a couple weeks ago that was just ratified is the, and they were talking about at CES, is the USB 3.1 C and B, I believe it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're not talking
Will
about
they work in those?
Well,
that has to be, you have to be seen.
Well,
right?
Yeah, you're going to, if you have a device that's for that, yes, but I mean, you should be able to work in that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Your 3 will work you for everything you need.
So the big thing is that she's got devices for scrapbooking that need to be hooked into this as well. There's plenty of inputs.
Correct, but if you know, here's the thing: if her device doesn't support the 3.0, it doesn't matter. I mean, 2.0, 3.0.
Dennis, anything else?
That's academic. It doesn't. Nothing you need to worry about, Dennis.
Okay, is your wife out of the shower yet?
I don't think she is.
Yeah, wise answer.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like my wife an hour
later. We're teasing
later.
You because we talked about having his wife on.
So Shane, approximately how much for a system like this? You know, are we still talking like $600 to $900, $600 to $1,000?
Somewhere in there, yeah. I would probably, what I would do is take one of my existing systems that, because I have a lot of Windows 7, I have a lot of i7, 16, 30, 8 gig boards or systems, and I would
modify
it for his need.
There you go.
Customize it.
And it would make a lot more sense than building
special
ordering.
Yep.
Yeah, because it can get expensive to have someone build that. You know, when I've got one, I can just take off the shelf and
exactly
customize. And that's why you watch all those custom motorcycle shows.
Yeah.
They'll grab a stock frame off the, and then they'll customize it.
Right.
Same thing.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Yep. That's a great example.
Because, Dennis, you had asked that question, do I need to have somebody build this for me? Mm-hmm. The answer is no, because there are good systems out there that can be customized to precisely meet your needs.
Correct.
Well, but I mean, I couldn't go to Best Buy and buy one that's going to meet my needs.
No, no. And what this is the advantage of going to somebody like Shane.
Yeah. Correct. You want to go to a place that gamers go to get their systems built. Yeah. You know, because PC gamers, I mean, you're talking about these guys want to see the freckles on a donkey's behind at 100 yards through a scope, when they're gaming.
Hey, Dennis, I hope we've helped you kind of get started on this. We're going to give you the contact. I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll give you the contact information for Shane, okay?
Well, you've helped a lot. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. And the best to your wife as well.
That was funny.
She's going to have lots of wrinkles. I'm going to come back in the end to kind of wrap things up by talking about some of the things we've talked about today and drawing some points for our other listeners as well. This has been kind of fun. It's a little different program that we're recording for you folks. Thank you, by the way, for those folks who are listening to us on our affiliates. So glad that we could join you. And for those of you who found the podcast and downloaded it, glad to have you here as well. We've been talking with Dennis from Tecumseh, and he posed a question that we have heard in so many different ways, guys. Ed Riddell, Shane Hamlin, and Cal Carson here in studio. All you guys are techs. You've had your hands in machines. You've built them. You've torn them apart. And we talk with him about getting a computer that will do what he wants or his wife wants to do. She's a scrapbooker. She's got some equipment. And he wants to, just kind of be done with it, spend the money that he needs to spend, and move her up to a machine that is...
Who wouldn't spend the money so they could stop hearing their wife complain about how slow the computer is, right?
No, I'm the one... My wife doesn't complain.
Oh, okay.
I sit down at the Windows 8, and I'm thinking, I've got to do something, because this is like a five-year-old machine.
You know, you're right. I'm projecting again, aren't I? Because it's really my frustration. Oh, I got to fix this again.
I know.
Okay.
No, you're right. I sat... Matter of fact, I was sitting today working on Jenny's... it was a refurb that I got like 5 years ago, and I got it out on 14 and 75.
Micro
Center, and it was a refurb, and it's an old Dell, and it's running a quad core, and it's kind of all she wanted was just to do email, and look at some images and just do some basics. So it worked fine.
Yeah.
But it's driving me nuts because it's so slow.
Well, one of the things when Dennis was calling, he said he had several computers at home that were experiencing that were slow. And there's a couple factors in there. One is, a lot of people have the mentality when you buy a computer, it should last forever, just like a toaster does or. So
or used to.
But it sounded like he purchased these just recently. So I couldn't fall back on that. Is this an instance where it's supposed to last forever? Well, that isn't the case. Because it was running Windows 7, how long has Windows 7 been out, Shane? 6 years? about.
Yeah.
And so it's quite possible that he had infections or spyware or adware on here that would really slow
down. Okay, I'm making a point that is a good one here. So maybe you don't need a new computer, folks. If you have a newer, let's like a 3-4 year old.
So maybe it needs
machine.
A tune up. Maybe it needs a tune up.
Exactly.
Or, you know, take it to an expert, you know, the places that say, we'll give it the once through, we'll run the antivirus through it and run the remove
and
the spyware.
And again, we're talking shops that are at like your local computer shops. And by the way, there's some great ones out there. And I should tell you this. If you go to internetadvisor.net, scroll to the bottom of the page, and you'll find this one with a kind of a geeky looking guy on it. Click on that because it talks about the different computer shops that you folks have suggested to us that are near you that you say are really good. And Shane, you're in there, recommended by most of our folks. And you'll find them. This guy named Jeff Harder was from PC Gladiator out in Livonia, who has been on with us. You'll find that listed in there along with a lot of other ones down in the Toledo area. Mm-hmm. And for you folks listening to us in Battle Creek and Grand Rapids and Lansing, send us the names. We'd love to put them in there as well.
You know, and that last thing, I loved how Shane described, you know what, I'll take one of the things off the shelf. Just like the motor shop guys do.
Yep.
You know, you start with the bare bones frame, and then you build up from there.
Yep.
Right.
That was a great description.
So it could be that your rather recent machine could be tuned up and working much better. Don't throw it away and buy a new one. You could use that. But again, if you go to one of your local shops, you got the kind of thing that Cal's talking about. Now, pardon me, that Shane was talking about. Just quickly, Cal, you have been a quiet partner here. You and I both work on Macs.
Yes.
Just quickly, could you think of a Mac device that would do what they're looking for?
Without a doubt, the first thing right off the top of my head would be a 27-inch iMac. I would probably attach a nice USB 3.0 hub to that, maybe 4 or 5 ports along with that. You can max that out with 32 gig of RAM.
iMac is a beautiful machine for this.
Oh, it's a beautiful Retina display. It would be absolutely awesome. And then, as Ed said, I'd probably subscribe to Adobe Creative Services, do that monthly subscription, which you can start or stop at any time you want.
Mm-hmm.
But there may be other software that's available that he may want to do some work with. I did go out and look at the two print, paper cutters that he had talked about.
Silhouette and Cricut.
And they do offer software for the Mac for that particular device as well.
I wanted to make sure we brought that in as well. The iMac is a beautiful desktop, but the challenge for somebody who's been working in the PC field, there's a learning curve.
For $99 at the Apple Store, they'll teach them everything they need to know, and they can go in as many times as they want and learn as much as they want. There's also user groups in the area that can be available, like the Mac group. There are a lot of Adobe user groups across the country that they can subscribe to, that they can learn stuff about Photoshop and that sort of thing.
Excellent.
At very, very low cost, if not free.
Okay, good. I wanted to bring that in. What would an iMac run that would do this kind of thing for him?
Somewhere in the neighborhood of about $2,500 should be able to take care of that very nicely.
Once again, you're going to pay for a beautiful piece of equipment, marvelous hardware, and good software that works with it. It was built to work with it.
Yes.
And
I could go to Tahiti for 2 weeks for that.
Yes, you could.
Yeah.
Or you could pay for your Microsoft subscription every year for the rest of your life. But no, I'm just kidding.
All right, Shane, let's bring it back around. Thank you, Kel. I did want to bring that in because there are some beautiful Mac devices.
There are lots of choices out there. And the real beauty of the whole thing is to sit down with someone who is computer savvy and who can take the information that you give them and translate that over into the appropriate hardware and software that's necessary for you to be able to get your job done.
And if you want to come into the Detroit area, I don't know out in on the Grand Rapids area if they have one there, but they have a store in, the beautiful Apple store at Somerset.
They do have one in Grand Rapids, I believe.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yes.
And Grand Rapids, they have an Apple store, and then you have also the Partridge Creek store, which is out on the east side in Sterling Heights, if you want to get into Apple. Yeah. I'll just mention that for those of you who want to take that route.
There's choices.
Again, great instructionals there as well, and lots of people who know what they're talking about. You can keep on coming back. Now, Shane, let's go back because they are in the PC world, and it sounds like he wants to continue on in that. What did you guys hear as we were talking about this? What struck you about that conversation?
Well, people want what they want. That's one thing that you can, you know, if they want that, and even on the phone when I was, you know, giving him my contact information, he said, you know what you talked about was great. You know, that sounds good. We'll build a big system. And then I want you to add more to that. And what we discussed, I want you to go even further. So, you know, they want what they want. He wants an 8-core I-7, which I have a funny feeling he's going to get.
Yeah,
he's going to get it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But you can take something off the shelf, as you said.
Yes.
Like the folks, if you want to watch TV, you watch the chopper shows or whatever it may be, or a car, you will take a basic system off the shelf, and then you start building on that.
Yes.
But with all due respect, I know that Shane's probably a business of integrity. And a lot of times people come in and say, I want this, I want this, I want this, and this, and this. And, you know, sometimes that conversation to kind of settle things down so you can really focus in what you want. Maybe you don't need 8 cores. You only need 4.
Right.
And this and that. So that after you're said and done, you walk out with a machine that's tailored for your your task, and you feel comfortable about it. You've gotten a deal that makes sense. That's what builds repeat business.
Yep.
That's what gets the word out that says, hey, go see Shane. That guy can take care of you because he knows what he's doing.
And like good Americans, more is not always better.
Well, yeah, but I've run across people that it doesn't matter what you say, and you can demonstrate it. They want the absolute best right now. And I've run across that.
In that case, you open up your wallet and you just say, come on, just dump it on in here. I'll just take it.
Yep. Unfortunately.
Shame. Because the customer is king.
You know, when I used to do a lot of stuff in private, if I was only charging $75 an hour, they wouldn't even touch me. As soon as I jacked up my rates to $200 an hour,
yeah,
I got people calling me
you
all the time.
You got very attractive.
I got incredible. Very attractive. Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
I know. Shame. I know Cal gave me a good segue there. Opening your wallet. I've got an event coming up next month.
Oh, yes.
That I would like to talk to you about. And this is important to myself and my daughter and her friends. Michigan Law Enforcement's Polar Plunges, Valentine's Day next on the 14th of February.
Explain what a polar plunge is.
Well, somebody like me jumps into the Detroit River in February.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Were you planning on having any more children?
Well, no. I'm done already, so I'm good.
Okay.
I'm okay. And this is to benefit Special Olympics of Michigan.
Oh, excellent.
And the team that we're on focus on autism. And
we'll put a link on the homepage.
Yeah, I've sent you the information, Foster. Excellent. You can put it up on the homepage.
That's excellent.
And it's going to be on behalf of the, I'll be team Internet Advisor team.
Excellent.
And let's get our listeners and everyone to help me raise some money for this great cause.
Wonderful.
And it's actually fun to come down and just watch. Because they dress up in costumes and they jump right off into the deep end.
What will you be dressed up as?
I haven't figured it out yet. I think I'm going to just grease myself up to protect myself. I see those guys wearing the Crisco all over. I might do that.
I really think you should take a 2x4 with you and just dress up as a popsicle.
Maybe, but head over to our website, Internet Advisor Foster will put something up for us.
Oh yeah,
please help me out and nice
for
donation.
A very good cause. Special Thank Olympics, you. Right?
Yes.
Okay, that's Shane, the Polar Plunge, February the 14th. Thanks, guys, for being here. Great show today. If you've been listening to us on our podcast, you can download, of course, the segment. You've listened to it. And spread the good news about the Internet Advisor at InternetAdvisor.net.
Listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, the longest-running, locally-produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit InternetAdvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.